All right, so this Sunday, we are doing our second message. If you were not here last week, I encourage you to go to, we have a Facebook page, we have a website, and we also host our messages on a website called Podbean, CascadePDX/Podbean. And you can listen to Dr. Bruner, who is a professor of mine in seminary, came and did the message last week. And if you were here last week, do me a favor and forget about that message, because otherwise this is going to be real disappointing, okay? It was fantastic. It was a great message. And I say all that to say, go and give it a listen. It really helps get our hearts and our minds in thinking about thankfulness. And so we just want to continue that conversation this morning. There's a verse that we find in 1 Thessalonians 5. If you brought your Bible, I encourage you to grab it. You can kind of follow along. We're going to be jumping to a number of different scriptures this morning. If you didn't, no worries, it's going to be up on the screen. But there's this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 that says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances." Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. That's a crazy line. Give thanks in all circumstances. One of the things I learned in school, especially if you're going to like raise your hand and talk, and this continues as you go, just never speak in absolutes and you'll be okay, right? Like if you are in middle school, high school, learn this lesson now. Just don't speak in absolutes and you'll probably be okay. But if you ever say all or every, you're probably wrong, right? That's just how it works. But here in this verse, very specifically, they use an absolute. Give thanks in all circumstances. Do you have some circumstances in your life that are hard to give thanks in? Now, catch this distinction. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. That's important. That's like the crux. That's the hinge of what we're going to be talking about. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It says give thanks in all circumstances. You will have circumstances in your life that are unspeakably painful, damaging, difficult, walking a path of loss, of disappointment, that Scripture is not calling you to be thankful for. But the question is, how can we be thankful in? And just to create some context, we walked through the book of Acts earlier this year. And in that, we actually looked at a story where Paul went into a place called Thessalonica. And in Thessalonica, they shared the message of who Jesus was, and people were so upset that some of the leaders went around, and it created this kind of funny scene where they went around the marketplace, and it says they got up the bad characters, right? Remember this? We talked about, like, how do you spot the bad characters, right? Like, eye patch, clearly bad character, right? You there with the pitchfork and torch, come with me. I have something for you to do. They gathered all the bad characters and they led a riot against Paul and his traveling companions and a man named Jason who was hosting them. And they tried to drive them out. And actually, they succeeded in driving them out of Thessalonica. And it says next that Paul and his companions went to Berea. And they shared the same message. And instead of reacting, instead of being upset and angry and mad, they listened to it. They compared it with their understanding of God, their understanding of scriptures. And we talked about it that morning to say, we hope that you would be a Berea, that you would not be a Thessalonica, that when you're confronted with things that are different than the way you normally think of the world, that you would wrestle with it. You would ask God, what do you have for me? Now, the reason why I share all that is this comes to a letter to Thessalonica. So when Paul says that you need to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, thinking, Paul wasn't there very long at all. And the Christians that stayed and the Christians that last would have been against incredible persecution. It's not like that mob that drove Paul out just forgot about the Christians. No, they continued to say, no, you should not exist. You shouldn't be here. So again, it's not like it was this cushy, marshmallowy, fun kind of Christian experience. And they're like, be thankful. Don't forget to be thankful for all the good stuff. No, be thankful in all circumstances. So this morning, I want to look at another story, another part of scripture that we find actually in the Old Testament that really puts this statement to the test. And it looks, because what we're going to be talking about today is I don't assume to know where inner you are at in your heart for thankfulness. Some of you might be looking at this period of time in your life and just feel so full. Like it's beautiful. Your relationships are in harmony. Your work life is fulfilling. You jump out of bed every morning like excited to go. Your relationships with your family are like moving really well. You're getting exactly 8 hours of sleep. Your dog is well fed, but not too fat. Like your car drives like the wind. You know what I mean? Or maybe not. Or maybe that's not the description of your day in your life. And so what we want to do is we want to talk about thankfulness in a way that cuts across it all and says, is there a baseline of thankfulness that regardless of where you're at today that we can all kind of look at and walk with? So one of the most famous stories in the Old Testament is the story of a man named Job. Not Job, spelled the same, but Job. And Job has this incredible story. The story jumps in right from the beginning and everything is taken from him. He's a wealthy man. He has lots of kids. He has servants. He has livestock, which is like saying he has many, many cars and his multiple garages. Like it's the same equivalency for today in our culture. He has everything. And right at the beginning of the story, everything's taken away. It's strange. It's like if you read through the story, it's almost comical. And that these servants come running to him. And they're like, wind came and knocked down all of the house. And it killed all of your children and all of your servants. And I'm the only one who left to tell you this news. And then another servant runs in. And like, this thing happened. And everyone died except for me. It's like, you only get enough people that are surviving to tell him how awful everything is. And then in the next chapter, at the beginning of the second chapter, we see that it actually starts to affect Job himself. He gets these incredibly painful sores, and you get this awful picture of him sitting in ashes. And putting ashes on yourself was a sign of grieving, of grief. And he's using a pottery shard to scrape his sores, right? So he's lost everything, everything. And in Job 2:9, his wife comes and speaks with him and says, "Are you maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." Are you maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. Right? Now, one of the things that, and I know this is a silly thing to have not struck me before in reading this story, but what struck me for the first time when I'm reading is, oh yeah, Job's wife would have walked through all of this too. She lost all of her kids. The story's called Job. It's told about Job, but she lost all of her kids. And now she sees her husband in this incredibly painful, pitiful place and is like, just die. Just call it a day. Wrap it up. What I thought was really interesting about what she says, she said, "Why are you maintaining your integrity?" That seems like a strange word to use there, right? Why are you maintaining your integrity? Because to say, what is Job doing that's maintaining his integrity by sitting there covered with ashes, scraping his sores with pottery? And when you look in the different definitions, there's a definition of integrity that says the state of being whole, undivided. So another way of looking at this is saying, why are you maintaining your wholeness? Why are you still a whole, complete person? That basically, there's this war waging within you, waging really within all of us for despair or hope. And why are you entertaining them both? Let despair win. Haven't you looked around? The battle's over, Job. Let despair win. Why are you maintaining your wholeness? Why are you maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. Let go. Walk away. You had a good run. It's done. And I thought about that in the midst of being thankful. That's kind of the crux of what we're going to talk about, that kind of wholeness. Because I think wholeness is allowing thankfulness and grief to coexist. Wholeness, that thing that she's saying, why are you maintaining your integrity? Why are you maintaining your wholeness? Is letting thankfulness and grief coexist. And the reason why I say this is when it's come to being thankful and to being thankful in all circumstances. Remember, that's where we started, that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says to give thanks in all circumstances is basically God's equivalent of fake it till you make it, right? Like, it's going to look bad. It's going to be hard, but usually life isn't hard forever. So if you can just fake being thankful, if you can just fake that things are all right long enough, I mean, it really can't look any worse. It will start to look a little better. But actually, I think that's the opposite of what it's saying. It's just going the other direction from what Job's wife said, which makes it no more true than the other way. Either you give in to despair or you give in fully to thankfulness and you're just thankful for everything. Have you met this kind of person? Where they get a flat tire and they're like, praise God for that flat tire. Who knows? I could have been blindsided by a truck if that tire hadn't gone flat. And there's something kind of beautiful about it. But there's also something kind of annoying about it. Because not everything in your life is good, is it? And see, that mentality, that way of processing about small things, about a flat tire, sure, maybe. But don't call the death of my spouse good. Don't call the death of my parents good. Don't call the death of my kids good. Don't call the attacks in Paris good. Don't call the shootings in Umpqua good. No, those are unspeakably bad. We don't give thanks for those things. We grieve those things. We face the suffering in these things. Do you see how complex this issue is of thankfulness? And there's always this tension of giving in to grief, to giving in to suffering, curse God and die, or giving in to thankfulness and saying, thank God for this thing that's awful. Wholeness, which I think is what we're being invited to, wholeness, giving thanks not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances, is to maintain your wholeness. Another way of putting that is God created you whole, not divided. So why would you divide the wholeness that God's created? So here's the question. Remember at the beginning I said maybe everything in your life is awesome or everything is not awesome. What's the baseline that we can look at? The question is, do you have anything to be thankful for? Do you have anything to be thankful for? And as I wrestled with this and thought, all right, every circumstance, and I've sat and talked with people that are in the very pit of despair. And I've talked with people that are in the midst of the greatest celebration. Here's the thing that God brought to mind. It's kind of the baseline thankfulness. I'm still here. No matter what. If you're able to reflect on should I be thankful, one thing will be true. You're still here. And I started praying that this week as a prayer of thankfulness. God, I thank you, I'm still here. And I'll be honest, the first time I said it and prayed it, it was kind of depressing. Like, really, that's it? Thank you, I'm still here. But then I said it again. God, thank you, I'm still here. And it started growing a little bit. God, thank you, I'm still here. There's like this divine power, not like this self-empowerment, but it's like God reinforced, yeah, you're still here. I'm still here. The reason why I bring that up is if you have nothing else to be thankful for this morning, let's try being thankful for you still being here. I'm still here. It reminds me that being thankful for the baseline, being thankful in the midst of it, says we face suffering and grief, but being thankful in the midst of suffering tells grief that it won't win out. Being thankful in the midst of suffering tells grief that it won't win out. You're not the end of the story. Yes, today I feel suffering, today I feel grief, but that's not the end of the story. My wholeness will be maintained in being thankful in the midst of the grief. I thought there's a story that illustrated this in a really powerful way this week. Maybe some of you heard the story of Antoine Larry. He was a father, a survivor in the Paris attacks. I think we have a picture of Antoine. He wrote a letter. He put it on Facebook this week. If you don't know Antoine Larry, he has a 17-month-old son. But his wife of 12 years was shot in the attacks. And he wrote this letter. And if you put up, Ty, there's one line in the letter. He said, "Of course I'm devastated with grief. I admit this small victory, but it will be short-lived." He was writing it to the terrorists. And what he said is, "I'm devastated." But as he continues, for him and his son, he says, "I will not give you my hatred. No, our revenge will be happiness, because we will carry the memory of my wife with us everywhere we go." He has this beautiful line where he says, "We will be free souls, a freedom you will never know and experience." It's powerful. And what I thought was so powerful is it illustrates it. What can Antoine say today? "I'm still here. I'm still here." And in the midst of still being around, he says, "I'm devastated. I'm devastated. Yep, I'm suffering. I'm grieving. But that's not the end of the story. And I'm thankful that I'm here." There's a proverb, Proverbs 23:18. Powerful reminder. Proverbs 23:18 says, "For surely there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." I think this gives insight into why that thankful prayer of "I'm still here" can matter, why it can be so powerful. Because for each and every one of us that are still here, that are still alive, there's a future hope. There's a future hope. God's not done yet. If you go throughout the stories of Scripture, there are moments in those stories that if you dropped into those, if you could parachute into the stories, they would be so painful, so filled with grief. You would say in the midst of those stories, much like Job's, "Why are you maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." But all throughout Scripture, we see the story's not done yet. Our church here stands as a monument. We remember every other week through taking communion of the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. The entirety of the Christian faith, the entirety of the Christian story hinges on those two things, the death of Christ and the resurrection. After every Good Friday, there's an Easter Sunday. And so why would it be hopeful? Why do we give thanks for being able to say, "I'm still here"? Because the story's not done yet. If you want to complete the thought, "I'm still here and God's not done yet." If you're still here, if you're here this morning, hear this. God's not done yet. In the face of your suffering, in the face of your grief, God's not done yet. And that's what can fill us with thankfulness in the midst of the darkest moment, when we're tempted to curse God and die, when we're tempted to give way to the suffering. Last verse I want to share with you is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you is faithful to bringing to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me say that again. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. There is a future hope. God's not done yet. And so that's my invitation for you this week, the week of Thanksgiving. If you have a tradition, maybe wherever you celebrate, if you celebrate with someone and you ever have to go around the table and say, what are you thankful for? And maybe you're like, I don't know that I have a lot. I would encourage you to say, I'm still here. Praise God that I'm still here. Because he started a good work in me and he's going to be faithful to complete it. And God's not done yet. So yes, I grieve. Yep, I'm devastated. That line from Antoine Lurie, I'm devastated. But it won't win out. I'm going to invite the band to come up. Would you pray with me?